You're listening to Old School Movement. You understand?
Hello, this is Old School Movement. I'm Mr. Lucas. You can also call me Darren, the Dazzler D. Lucas, also in the house, as you know, we have Christopher, Chris, Crim, Rival. And we also have Stephen, Soundman, Stax, Lewis. How you doing, guys? You're right.
I'm good, man.
Cool. Enjoying the sun?
It's amazing.
It's the highlight
at the moment. What's better than that is the fact that we don't have to go to
work. Well, we're working now, but we're having fun.
This is our job.
For this episode, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be showcasing the talents of some of our favourite 80s action icons. Since this is the first episode, we're going to be going through a lot of action 80 icons on this podcast.
We're going to have to break it down.
It's too much. So we're going to introduce five for our first podcast of this series. And hey, a lot of these guys on this episode that we're going to talk about, they're really inspirational for me. And it was when I started to discover I was a nerd. Because I wanted to know, like, what was behind that? Was he the guy that done that? And looking at what he also acted in, what he also voiced, and so on and so forth, with all of these actors, you know what I mean? And you'd look out for them in certain films. Every film they were in, you're impressed with. But the first actor that we're going to showcase is one that fits under that umbrella for his voice, for his acting, for his influence, the type of roles he played. But wherever he carried his voice, that's the biggest, you know, that was loud. It was loud. It was present.
For many people, it was probably the voice that they heard before they saw the face.
Exactly. Like, whether it's the Lion King, Mustafa in Lion King, whether it's Lord Vader, or whether it's the King of Zamunda. It's James Earl Jones, guys, man. This
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, he's a legend. He's just so powerful, isn't it? Like, commanding.
Yeah. My son Akeem. It's just got that bass and yeah, it's just, you know, and he's just talking, like, anything he says, like, I'm just going in the shower now. Just like anything he could say, he's just got a bass to it. It's an announcement.
Everything's an announcement.
It's an announcement. Yeah. But apparently, he also did the voiceover for CNN News. You're watching CNN News.
You serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, it's just that you stand to attention when you hear that voice.
Yeah. Seven decades that man's been in the business.
Seven decades, man.
He's got, you know, his career, you know, is the things he's been in, like you say, all them things he's been in.
He's 89 now, isn't he?
He's one of, I think we might have mentioned this before, he's one of only 14 people who hold four awards. Is it Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony?
Yeah, he's got three Tonys.
Really?
Yeah. But because he holds all four, he's in that exclusive club.
The exclusive club.
14 in the world who's got that achievement.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good on to
because, as well as being a film actor, same voiceovers, he's a theatre actor, works on Broadway and on stage. Yeah. So he's all round, isn't he? He's a well-oiled thespian actor.
Yeah.
And as you said, a lot of generations have seen him for different reasons. Whether you're an older generation and see him in the early films he done, all the theatre stuff. Whether you're the 70s and 80s for Darth Vader, and whether the 90s for The Lion King, you know?
Yeah.
So,
again, what I mentioned earlier, I think it was the voice I heard first. I think it was from Star Wars.
Yeah, it was. The first time I ever heard Darth Vader is when he said, "Where are the plans?" Yeah. That's probably the first thing I've ever heard James Earl Jones say.
Yeah, it's true.
And the funny thing about that, because George Lucas originally wanted Orson Welles to be the voice of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But he didn't think that was a commanding enough. You know, it was a rich voice, but not a commanding voice. Mm. And then he bumped into James Earl Jones, and the guy, Dave Prowse, who was Darth Vader.
They couldn't use his voice.
Because he wanted to be the voice.
He was from like Cornwall or something.
He was in Cornwall, so he was like, where are the plans?
Where are the plans, my lover?
So
you wouldn't have the same impact, would it?
Exactly. You would really be scared of that type of Vader. So apparently David Prowse and James Earl Jones never even met. No,
I've read a story that they met once, but I've read numerous stories that they've never met. That's
so
crazy, isn't it?
Well. And apparently also James Earl Jones didn't want to be credited.
He didn't for the first two. He didn't get credited until
until they remastered it.
He only got $9,000 for Star Wars, considering his contribution to it. It was quite big as a as somebody's watching it, but you know, during the making of it, and you know, like you say, he didn't think he'd done enough to warrant even having his name in it. Not until it got to Return of the Jedi, which
that seems mad.
He's a massive part of it.
Apparently, his quote was, "I'm just a sound effect."
Yeah, yeah. It's just a sound effect.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That's how you want to. Yeah, but also, I know, as well as much as seeing him in my favourite film, Empire Strikes Back, in the Star Wars saga, he was also in another great, well, I think probably this first Schwarzenegger film I saw, which is Conan the Barbarian, as the main villain, Fassa Doom, and the Snake King. Scary dude. Yeah, some Stacks, have you ever seen Conan the Barbarian?
I think I have.
Where he's got some weird haircut.
It's long. Yeah, he's got like a fringe.
His haircut.
Long black hair.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a nutter. And he's just, and he's a snake king. He turned into a snake. And mate.
That freaked me out when I first saw that.
Exactly. When he turned into the snake,
I remember
that music. And having all these orgies eating grapes and that, and Conan's trying to get in and deal with it. And while all this is going on, he turned into a snake.
And went up some tunnel to get us to get away. Remember, he crawled up some tunnel and Conan couldn't find him. And then, if you remember, what I was going to say, because it freaked me out. I didn't like the way he turned. But I remember, I'm sure, like Conan come in, he'd done this snaking morphing, went into the wall. Conan's left, and then he finds a little snake and makes him go into an arrow. He straightens like a snake.
And he shoots the girl.
He shoots the girl. She slowly dies a few hours later.
Right.
Or so, a few days
that's
later.
Right. Fassa Doom.
That was a good character. Child. It was a good character.
And that's not really talked about, that role he done as Fassa.
No.
Conan the Barbarian, 1982. In between Star Wars. Yeah. So he was Vader. He was just evil in the 80s. Like, he had no time off from being a good guy from work. He was this evil up in the 80s. Coming to America was a relief for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd be a wholesome dad of King of Zamunda. But
it's when you think of his character, you can't think of any of them characters not being his voice, though, can you? Like, when you think about
it. It's impossible. It doesn't work.
Having anyone else play Darth Vader, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and the thing is, Disney wanted him still to be involved in Star Wars. So he's still in Rogue One, his voice.
Yeah.
All the remasters, some of the games. Yeah. And he's still in the new Lion King, so you're not like he's the only actor to survive the cartoon version of Lion King to be on the big screen, because he's
You can't replace his voice.
You know, James Earl Jones, man. As we were saying, you know, he's in an array of films, array of movies. Before We Were Born, and he's still going on at 89. But what is your favorite scene from him, or quote from James Earl Jones?
I'm gonna have to go with a quote, and that's got to be. It's got to be from Star Wars, Darth Vader. My favorite quote from Darth Vader is, "The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner, but now I am the master." That bit, you know, when he strikes.
Yeah.
I love that scene, man.
Only a master of evil does.
Man! No!
Yeah. Stacks, have you got one?
Well, I mean, there's many in Coming to America. There's just too many to choose from.
There's lots in Coming to America.
I don't know why it always makes me laugh when written in the scene where he says there's someone waiting for him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Let them wait." That always gives me jokes. I don't know why. Those ladies, I mean, Coming to America is one of my favorite films.
And you know when you hear that Berman voice, "You're going to wait."
You're going to answer back.
You're going to wait.
But
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, and put your petals on the floor as you bow out.
You know what I mean?
But Chris, as you were saying, like, Darth Vader has got an array of one-liners.
Yeah, you must have some favorites.
Yeah, I was going to go through a couple of my favorite Vader lines.
This is going to take a while, right? Isn't it?
Number two, yes, Admiral. When he just pissed off and he's just like, "What do you want? I'm having a wank in my capsule. I've got my lightsaber out. You're disturbing me."
No, you're bothering me.
And at number one,
to put his cloak.
What is it, Admiral? I'm Jedi-ing and I'm Darth Knight-ing, believe me.
I'm Jedi-ing.
I'm playing with my lightsaber.
I'm just fixing the buttons. Now go.
I'm polishing the shaft of it. Which so.
I'm just cleaning my helmet. I mean, I'm...
what is it, Admiral?
Okay, and at number one is from Rogue One, where he comes back and he says, "Don't choke on your aspirations, Commander." He probably said that while he was... I think he gave him a fat zoot, really.
He gave him the bong. Yeah. Don't choke on that.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, that's my favourite Vader line. James Earl Jones, you're a legend. You're an inspiration. Yeah, and that's why you're on our list. So, the next actor we have also has dabbled in the Star Wars atmosphere. We know him. We know him for Lando Calrissian. But
there was only two black actors in Star Wars, really. Two that... One that you saw on screen and one that you just heard of.
And there was a couple of slides in the background. But
in the background,
not in front, in the
background.
Not in main. Front of the screen. But this guy was an inspiration because he entered this big box office smash saga, you know, with a bang. You know, he was inspirational. He was slick. He had his own business. He had his own city. He was black. In between making Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, he even had time to act with Stallone in Nighthawks. And that is Mr. Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee.
Born in 1943, 83 years old now. Born in New York. His real name is William December Williams Jr.
Is it
December?
Yeah, that's where the D comes in.
Okay. December. Yeah. Wow, what a name.
William December Williams. So he's a twin. He's got a twin sister.
What's her
and
name?
So Loretta.
Oh, I was going to say, you might as well just call it April, innit? If we're going for like months of the year.
or Betty D. Williams or something. yeah. So Billy Dee Williams started off as a Broadway theatre actor. He's also an artist. He's a painter.
Yeah, he's got some... Yeah. I heard about it. I think I've seen a programme with him on it. And he wants that to be his legacy. So I think he's up to about 300 portraits, pictures. Not just portraits, pictures. And he wants some of them. I've seen some of them going for like $30,000-$50,000. Like,
yeah, it's
he's got some expensive art in his collection now of his own.
Oh, I did not know that.
From what I read, he wants that to be his legacy. It's going to.
That was his main thing, and to
I don't think he's going to top Lando. Yeah. Lando's his legacy, man. Lando opened him to so many children and the whole world.
The whole world, But painting was his main thing, so he does start acting on the side to pay for his brushes and stuff.
Yeah.
He just fell into it. But his movie debut was a film called The Last Angry in 1959.
A few TV
stuff. And there was also he was in a film called Brian Story, a sports movie, and he got an Emmy nomination for that. So that's when people started to notice him as an actor. Mm. And then later on, he was in Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross, which just blew him up in the cinema, and then. Then he got chosen to be Mr. Calrissian. And that's when I first saw him. I guess you guys first saw him there as well.
I remember him from Nighthawks. Was Nighthawks before Empire Strikes
Back? No, it was after.
It was after. Yeah, it was after. Yeah. I do remember him from Nighthawks, but Lando.
What, you saw him in Nighthawks first?
No, after.
Yeah,
after,
yeah.
After, I remember.
Of course. After. Yeah. Of course,
I remember he was, for me, he was like the one of the first big characters in a film, I think, to be represented anyway. And he done it, you know, he done it with the suave, perfection, charismatic way only Billy Dee did. Like, Lando made Lando.
Exactly, That's what I'm saying. He was, his character was, because that film was has so much twists and turns, you know, and the surprise, like, the thing is, he would do anything for his mates, but you can't fuck with Darth Vader. Darth Vader's already come on your seat to listen.
You've got no choice. He comes across a bit as a double crosser,
but you whatever, can't.
You ain't gonna mess with him, man.
And people forget that he blew up the Death Star in Return of the Jedi. That was the whole plan. Han Solo turns down the defector shield, and he goes and blazes it up. So he saved the day. He's the hero of Return of the Jedi for me. But also Nighthawks. I think I saw that in the 80s.
Yeah,
late 80s or something.
I think
I saw it in the late 80s. And I thought that was a good film.
Yeah, it was all right.
thought that was a good film. Mm. You know,
I saw it after a few Stallones. We'd already watched a few other Stallones.
Exactly.
And then come back to that, actually. Yeah, it probably was mid-80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all right. It was all right. I can't remember. I just remember they were cops.
Yeah.
I remember it was a good film.
It had Rutger Hauer in it, and yeah, it was like a cop buddy film, and you could see he looked like Billy Dee Williams had just come from the set of Star Wars, but his hair was still wavy, and he still looked Lando-ish.
He's still Lando-ish.
I've just finished filming a scene in Cloud City. he still had that Lando look.
It could only been a year or two after, I reckon, when he'd done that. Whereas later on in the '80s, I can remember him from the end of the '80s being in, I think, it was the first Batman.
Yeah.
He played Harvey Dent, the attorney in it. Who later came back as Two-Face. Who played him?
Tommy Lee Jones played him.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Because what was supposed to happen? Billy Dee was supposed to reprise his role as Harvey Dent in Batman Returns. But they deleted him. They deleted him and they put Christopher Walken's character in Batman Returns.
Yeah.
And when the new director came, Joe Schumacher, for Batman Forever, the third one, they just got rid of Billy Dee Williams completely and used Tommy Lee Jones.
You know, I didn't notice that.
I didn't pick up on that, you know?
But he came back for Batman Lego Movie and voiced...
As Two-Face.
So years later, he got to reprise his role eventually. But yeah, no. Do you know what? Do you guys remember seeing him in Dynasty? In the 80s.
I know he was in it. I've read that he was in the credits, but I can't remember. I vaguely remember seeing him
because look, he was Lando. If Lando was on TV,
he would have been a special guest star. You know, when you had it at the end in the credits, like this week's special guest star, it would have been Billy Dee Williams on it, man.
Like, yeah, he was in it from 84 to 85. Billy Dee Williams was inspiration to me. He's in my favorite film, and carried it off.
Big actor.
He carried it off. And Night Hawks weren't too bad. And even came back to film, to be in the last terrible Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And apparently he's the only actor in Hollywood history to have such a long vacation from 40 years between one film to another, from Return of the Jedi to...
Yeah. Again, I'm sure we've mentioned that before, that little fact. But yeah, that's a good one for it. You know, not many people are gonna probably beat that, are they, really, now? Mm.
They're not.
He's in the record books for that one. Have you got any favourite scenes or favourite quotes that you like Billy Dee in any film? Doesn't have to be Star Wars.
Yeah, man. Like, the one I like from Star Wars is when he first sees Han Solo.
That's one of mine as well.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, you double-crossing. Oh, come here. How you doing, buddy? Yeah. But when he sees Leia, it just, I don't know Han no more. Hello, what do we have here? That's a bit like, he's still the same guy. He ain't seen his friend for years.
I'm going to chat to this lady.
I ain't seen for years.
Is that the catchphrase he's known for, isn't it? I think that's the main catchphrase of what do we have here. But yeah, I like the bit when he first meets and it's, you slimy, double-crossing, no good, swindle. You got a lot of guts coming around here after what you pulled. And then you get the big smile. It's that smile as well. The first time you see him grin, showing Han that I'm only taking the piss. It was a good bit in the film. It gave you that feeling he ain't gonna mess him up. He's his mate.
Exactly. Like, it's his mate. That's his mate. He's got a lot of one-liners. All right. And having him in the film is now, when we're playing Star Wars, I could be Lando now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Inspiration. Always wanted a moustache. Always wanted a moustache like his when I was little. You know what I mean? I didn't have to be a stormtrooper anymore, did I, Chris? I could be a black character now.
You didn't have to be like an Ewok or something.
Yeah. I'm Lando. Ewok come after.
I know, man. It was Chewie. You were Chewie.
Oh, shit.
Who we got next in our little selection?
So,
top 80s actors.
So this guy, people get them confused. It's like how you get Pacino, De Niro mixed together, especially if you're Stacks, you don't know. In the '80s, every black actor had to have a caterpillar moustache. They had to be Black Magnum looking dudes, didn't they?
Yeah.
What was that moustache about in those days?
I can't think of a black actor in the '80s that didn't have a moustache.
Yeah, it proved so, you had to have a moustache.
Is that 70s pre style look?
You had to have a moustache.
Yeah. It's in the contract, isn't it? But again, this actor, he started off as an American football player.
Big time American football. He's done well.
Yeah. And then he got into acting, kind of liked it. You know, he's athletic, sport, he'd done a bit of boxing and all that. Do you know what I mean?
Not bad.
This is all right. And then he appeared in a couple of blaxploitation movies, an episode of Kung Fu. Bionic Man.
Street San Francisco.
Exactly. It wasn't until 1976 when a certain director chose him for a movie. And the rest is boxing history. And that's Carl Weathers, man.
Carl Weathers.
72 years old now. Born in 1948 from New Orleans.
Isn't it?
New Orleans.
So,
not to be mistaken with Billy Dee Williams, of course.
Not to be mistaken.
Billy Dee Williams.
Your mate looks like one of them.
Yeah. Carl Weathers, man. Like, I must have first saw him in the Rocky movies, you know. Apollo Creed, you know, his character was loosely based from Muhammad Ali, the brash talking, you know, heavyweight champion of the world. And apparently he got the role of Apollo Creed. In the audition, he was criticizing Stallone's acting. And that's how he got the job.
Really?
He's like, this guy's cack. Like, how's this working?
I never liked
Rocky because of that.
because of the acting.
That's the thing, like Rocky, I know what you mean. Rocky's like Marmite, you either love him or hate him. And the reason why you don't like him is because of his voice.
It's the acting.
But I liked his acting.
I liked it. And it suits the character of Rocky.
Yeah, I like his acting.
That style of acting for me. When I first watched Rocky I thought, yeah, I'm not sure about this. But once you get into it, he's a simple sort of dude and it's simple sort of acting that he's trying to play it like, you know, like true to life, I think, man. I kind of like it. You get into it in the end. And for me as well, the seeing them first Rockies, they were like from opponents to best buddies. You're watching them first.
Yeah, you saw the progression in their friendship.
And because you obviously, you know, hung around with you growing up all the time, it was that, you know, the black and white thing. It was nice to see it on screen. And you saw it quite a bit in the 80s. You used to get the Crockett and Tubb thing.
That's right.
You know, I like the 80s for the black and white buddies.
Combination. The buddy movies. Like 4 Hours, Nighthawks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were a big attraction because it felt like, you know, it's. We can relate to that, or we can see ourselves there.
Rocky and
Apollo sort of thing.
Yeah, running on the beach.
Yeah,
wicked. In our vest tops and shorts.
The vest tops, kicking the waves.
So above our belly button vest tops.
Like, I saw that scene.
Socks up to our knees.
6 months ago, right?
Oh, that's wicked.
And I had to laugh, mate. That's wicked. Funny,
but that's the 80s.
In the 80s, you wouldn't question that.
Those shorts ain't on, you know.
You would have been wearing that as well. In that year, you would have been wearing that.
You'd have been wearing that. Yeah, you would have been pulling your socks up to your knees, smuggling shorts, and a little vest top that's cut above your belly button.
You would have been wearing
socks, possibly.
And some sweatband.
The vest top, nah.
Definitely a bum bag.
You would have had that. You would have roller skates. That's right. The American sports look, man.
If it was all right for Ozone and Turbo, it was all right for me.
It was all right, yeah. With a raccoon tail on your key ring.
Yeah, raccoon tails and handkerchiefs tied around your waist or studded belts hanging down. And it was the 80s, man. All of that.
There was a lot of funky stuff in there.
It was funky.
But we're going to do an 80s fashion podcast because, I didn't mind dressing like that. I was into all that shit.
Soon. The vest top, we're doing an 80s fashion podcast. I can't do that.
I don't think I had one, but I probably would have bust one, but I don't think I had one.
All right. Get back to Carl Weathers. So Rocky came out in 79, then Rocky 2, 82, then Rocky 3, 85. So as you were saying, Chris, they had that progression together. We saw their friendship blossom. The funny thing, Rocky, the first Rocky, it was a draw, wasn't it? That's how that fight finished.
Yeah.
There was no winner. And then Rocky 2, Rocky beat him from getting up first, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about that is, it didn't matter because it's Rocky that knocked down Apollo. If Apollo got up, why would Apollo still won? Well, he didn't touch. He was the one that fell down from the punch.
It's true. He got knocked
down. Right, so Rocky fell down because he was just tired.
No, exactly.
Because
he was just tired.
There was no knockdown.
I watched it recently. I went, hold on. You should have made that bit. They both should have punched each other.
Yeah, you should have seen two punchy connections.
And that's why it happened.
See, I think that's what happened.
No, No, like mentally, you kind of think that shouldn't happen, right? Or it did happen in your mind, right? But when you see it again, you're going to go, hold on a minute. Rocky won anyway.
Only Rocky knocked him down. He just fell down after.
So that's why, probably in Rocky III, when Apollo wanted to fight him and it ended with them two punching each other, just to fill in for that. That's how Rocky that's how Rocky II should have finished. So we'll end Rocky III with that. That's ding, ding. But, Carl Weathers, man. Apollo Creed, near for Apollo Creed in his American shorts and that. What were you going to say, Chris?
I said, moving on towards the end of the night, he started popping up on TV because he sort of went missing for a bit.
Yeah, Predator, man. Like I hadn't seen him since Rocky IV.
That's what I'm saying. He went missing, innit? He went missing for a bit.
He went missing. So Rocky IV came out in 85. Predator came out in 87. So just 2 years. Just 2 years, right?
It felt long back
then. Yeah, because he wasn't in any other films. Yeah. West Alone was in other films. Popping up, the top. Yeah. And so, and you know, you didn't see him. But when he came in Predator, you thought, okay, you know, he's back. And it ain't just an extra bit in the film. And I think it's a fantastic character, Al Dillon.
Yeah, he's good. Dillon.
The sly guy. Am I remembering that jumper? The sly guy of Predator.
That's got all the lines in it.
It's got a lot of lines in it.
That was a good part. Credit was a good part. That was a comeback for him. And after that, he appeared in Action Jackson, where he was like a black James Bond.
That was a good film, that was actually. I watched that a couple of times.
Okay, so review that for us then, Stax. Refresh our memories on Action Jackson.
When I said I watched it a couple of times, it was like...
Back then, yeah. I don't remember much about it.
30 years ago.
I would say he's a Black Bond, and that's all I can remember. Was there only one? Or did he get extra?
It was just one. It was just one.
I remember watching it and thinking, this is wicked. And then watching it like a couple of times, I couldn't tell you what happened in it. It's a good film, though. I definitely recommend Black you Bond. Watching it.
Yeah, I recommend anybody who hasn't seen Action Jackson to watch Action Jackson.
Yeah, there's a few choice bits in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
I remember probably not long after that, then he popped up on TV and towards the end of the 80s. He come in, one of my favourite things at the time, which Vietnam War series, was Call of Duty. He was in it for I think, a little over a year and probably done about maybe 10 episodes.
Yeah,
and he was Colonel Carl Brewster.
He's an action hero, though, man.
But I also heard, though, because I used to think when the film Expendables, I'm not a fan of these films, but I noticed he wasn't in it. He's not in there. And I thought, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
Apparently, I heard while filming Rocky IV, Dolph Lundgren and Carl, they didn't get on.
Oh, really?
And he used to have real scraps. And it got so bad that they had to stop shooting for 4 days. And so Stallone had to get them back together. Like, oh, guys, you're trying to make a movie here. You got to do this right. I know you hate each other in the film, but don't take it to reality. He ain't breathing heavy, though. But yeah, so apparently Stallone got them back together after 4 days of not shooting, man. So,
they didn't do much of on-screen stuff together, did they, really?
He's a bit of a fiery character. But that's probably why he wasn't in Expendables, man. Because he's thinking every action hero in the 80s,
He
ain't got the CV for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got the back catalogue for it.
But
he ends up taking films like bloody
Politics,
Happy Gilmore.
The politics.
I quite liked him in Happy Gilmore, though, mentioning it. Kind of dipping into something
Happy
else.
Gilmore,
he was all right in that.
And then he also done the voiceover for Toy Story 4 as Combat Carl, hero.
Yeah, he's had a few voiceover works, man. I didn't realise he's been doing... he does voiceover for computer games. He's done Transformers the Movie computer game, and he's done the more recent Battlefield 2, which I say more recent, it's a good few years back now. But he's also credited for performing and writing songs for recently Stranger Things TV show, Happy Gilmore, and Saturday Night Live.
He wrote songs for Stranger Things?
I don't know if he performed and written, I think he's credited for.
A man of many talents, American football player, actor,
right? Saying like Stranger Things soundtrack is like amazing.
Yeah, I want my look into that actually. I've never heard no music stuff. I knew about, I think he played for Oakland Raiders with the football thing. He moved from a college team into professional. He retired from playing in the year I was born in 74.
And now look at him. He's in Mandalorian, and he's directing an episode of season 2 as well.
Yeah, I like his character in Mandalorian. Yeah. I like that character in it. He's good in it.
Watch the Mandalorian, guys. If you've seen that, that'll take you back to the
he's good in that. '80s. Yeah. One of my favourite scenes. I know. I love the Rocky scenes. I love the running down the beach. I love all their montages of training them two together. But I love the start of Predator, where him and Dutch lock arms, and you, because it was the first time you see the size of his muscles compared to Arnie's. And you're like, well, they ain't that much smaller, you know? They're like they're almost. The size
he
of
must
Arnie's
have had to work hard to get.
He must have worked. He must have worked.
Apparently, apparently, when everybody was sleeping, like before they would shoot, he would get up early in the morning and bang out press ups.
And
just look pumped. So when they shot, he was ready.
The shot, veins are busting and everything.
Veins are busting out. Yeah, Dylan, what happened to you? It used to be a guy I could trust. I woke up. I don't you.
Has the CIA got you pushing too many pencils? He's got some good bits in there.
You just hold that chopper for me right there.
Bullshit psyche job. There's two of them out there. It's a fucking lizard. You got some wicked bits. And the bit that you mentioned before with the cheese.
Yeah, cheese. He had the bravado, and also when you see him in when he's just about to fight Drago in the press conference, and he's giving it all the lip and that that was funny. And then he come up with James Brown living in America and doing all the dance scenes and that.
And you saw that back in the day in the cinema, and you thought, man, this is ridiculous, man. Like they're going all out and they're rubbing his face into it. That is how boxing's come
now. That's how boxing
looks. It wasn't like that in the day. Boxing. You watch it now, and it's exactly like how he come in the ring.
How he comes in.
Living in America. It was wicked though. Watching having James Brown coming in as well, like Lando.
Decisions. Apparently, that was James Brown's last top 40 single.
That was a big track.
I remember seeing Rocky Four, and you know when Apollo's going you and pointing at Drago.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
And then there's a bit when he's going, I want you, but he's like Uncle Sam, right?
Yeah.
And in one, you see one clip, he's got the gloves on. Next clip, he ain't got the gloves on. That's a continuity mistake I noticed since I was little. If he dies, he dies.
That's a sad bit in the movie, though, man. One of the saddest bits.
He shouldn't have killed him off.
Nah.
Yeah, that's Carl Weathers.
Who you got next?
Jim Kelly.
First black martial artist to get a film role. He should be. He's definitely proud of it.
He was.
And not only that, starring alongside Bruce Lee in your first film. I think it might have been the second film.
He was international middleweight karate champ.
Yeah.
In 1971.
Yeah.
So he knew his stuff, and he was a professional tennis player as well.
Yeah.
Bit about a career as a tennis player.
That was his sport. I remember reading. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jim Kelly, born in 1946, sadly died on June 9th, 2013, age 67. So Enter Dragon, it came out in 73 when we weren't even born. So we come onto the scene with that film late, but it blew our minds. As you said, Chris, Bruce Lee was the main man, but he brought how Lando brought the charisma in Empire Strikes Back. Jim Kelly brought the charisma and the coolness into Enter the Dragon. I was sad, again, like Apollo, it was sad to see him die.
That's
the only fault in that film. He should have survived through that film. But he wasn't the first choice. There was another black action hero at the time. I can't remember the guy's name.
I think it was Rockne Tarkington.
Yes, that's right.
He dropped out like literally days before shooting was due to start in Hong Kong. And the producer at the time, Fred Weintraub, he'd already heard about Kelly and met him at a show where someone said to Jim, you want to get down there, not to get this part. It was a casting, but they said, you know, the casting's gone. This guy's already got it. This rock guy's already got it. But get down and just get your face known because you're good at what you're doing. He's from Crenshaw in Los Angeles, wasn't he? His gym or his dojo or whatever. But he went down there, showed his face. And that guy remembered him from when this guy dropped out. He thought, there's that guy. That guy back in LA. Let's go and get him. And
that's how he got it.
The guy had a polar neck and a fro. Let's go get him.
They all had froze, man.
I'd like to leave Crenshaw.
Where are you going to? I'm going to an island. I'm traveling to an island to do some fighting. Going to see Mr. Handman.
Sorry, Mr. Handman.
I got invitations to Mr. Handman on the island with the ladies.
Oh, Enter the Dragon is the first film I saw him in. I ain't seen him in any other film.
No. He done another film.
He done lots of films. He done a film called Hot Potato.
Hot Potato, I remember. I remember seeing the cover.
Yeah, we saw the cover.
Sure,
we said, that's the guy from
Enter
the Dragon.
Yeah.
We rented it out. I remember
after seeing the cover, it all come back to me. And I thought, we've seen that, I'm sure we have. Yeah, yeah. I feel like watching a clip of that. I'm sure we did see Hot Potato.
But apparently, he'd done a film,
Black Belt Jones.
Black Belt Jones in 1974.
I don't remember seeing that.
He also done Black Samurai in 1976. So he done a lot of blaxploitation. Because remember, Enter the Dragon came out in 73. And those dates there are after. So he obviously got... You know, got his shine. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it just didn't work the way over to us as much as what Enter the Dragon did. Because I don't remember seeing any too much. He actually done a couple of episodes as a reporter in Highway to Heaven as well. I know you used to watch Highway to Heaven.
Yeah. Michael Landon.
Come on, man.
Highway to Heaven. Sent back to do good. It was good, actually.
Highway to Heaven, you know.
You guys have mentioned a few little quotes and things. Is there anything that sticks out about Jim Kelly apart from that's bullshit?
It probably is the bullshit and the selection of his dames and and a bit when I love that bit.
And
he's betting with John Saxon, you know, John Saxon fighting
and he's just doing a single.
He made a bet and he just a little nod like okay this round this is it, you know, this is what you do.
Like, I used to like his fighting style and the owl noise. I still do it on my little girl now. When she gets a bit too mad and the fists start flying, I give her the whoo, 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 whoo. I give her she can't block any of them moves. She can't block. They get through every time, man.
As I love when they do that close up. You know that scene? Yeah. It's just hands. That seems wicked. You can just see his head behind go whoo, 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 whoo.
As soon as I start making that noise, she knows that they're coming, man. Like,
I need to watch Enter the Dragon again.
His fight scenes were good, but that's good because, you know, all of the actors we're talking about all their various film roles, but we're just talking about this one performance from Jim Kelly.
One performance,
and that speaks volumes. That was enough to have an impact.
To get him on this first episode.
I used to watch.
It's enough to make me go back and look at
every single Sunday. Without fail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just Enter the Dragon now. Daniel Leiborn Glover. Other known as Danny Glover. Not Donald Glover. Not Charles Gambino. Danny Lethal Motherfucking Weapon Glover. We first saw Danny age 73 now.
Yeah. Still does loads though, isn't it?
He's a political activist, as well as an actor and a film director.
Yeah. He's done a lot with Hurricane Katrina victims.
Yeah.
I know he does loads, man. He's a really good guy.
He started acting in 1978.
I remember him from Harrison Ford and Witness.
He was the bad guy in Witness.
Yeah.
I think Witness was after Lethal Weapon. But that's how people really know him as Roger Murtaugh in
Murtaugh, yeah.
In Lethal Weapon movies.
Which was 87. Glover partnered up with Mel Gibson in what was the first Lethal Weapon film and went on to star in three huge big films altogether.
In the first Lethal Weapon film, he was cast as a 50-year-old and at the time he was 44 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
I would have thought, I was going to say he was probably a bit older.
He was that age. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So he was chosen for his performance in The Colour Purple,
which was a big film, man. Big one Oscars at the time.
Steven Spielberg movie, man. Colour Purple. But did you guys know that Bruce Willis was supposed to be Mel Gibson's character?
Really?
No, Weapon. I never heard that.
And Mel Gibson was supposed to be Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard.
Really?
They both didn't want the roles, so they
turned down the roles and switched them over.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them in them roles. They suit the roles that they've got now. Bruce would have been too comical, I think, whereas Mel's got that, he's got that wicked balance of being a crazy character, but have the comical side of it. And they worked so well together.
Yeah. But so he done Colour Purple, then Lethal Weapon, they say Witness, then he's in the Western Silverado, then he's in Predator,
Another one has also fought the Predator and survived, didn't he, I think?
He survived the Predator. He even got a present from the Predator. Didn't the Predator give him a gun from...
Give him something, actually.
Keep that as a souvenir.
He's also in, I think, the second Jumanji.
He is in Jumanji as well, yeah. This is more recently, in the last few years. And he's also, like,
I think this year, last year or something?
Yeah, I think 2017 maybe. And since then, I think last year was a film, which I really liked, a film called Proud Mary. I don't know if you've seen Proud Mary.
No, I haven't seen that.
Really good film, you should say. He's in that as well. Really good film.
But yeah, it really worked, the contrast, him and Mel Gibson in the Lethal Weapon movies. You know, as you were saying earlier, though, being the wholesome family guy, you know, with his family, and Mel Gibson would come around and have dinner with him and all that. And he was the guy that kept things in order and stuff.
Don't look at his daughter, house. Sort of thing.
Don't look at his daughter, but he's still the action man. But no, he's a fantastic actor. And he was going to make a film about a Haitian general who fought.
This has been
French.
In the pipeline for years. Yeah, he's been trying. I know about this.
What's his name? Tuva?
Yes. Yeah. And but yeah, it's not been lifted off the ground yet, and he had a star-studded cast for it and stuff.
And there's been millions pumped into that, and it's still in the making. Last I heard about that was probably around like 2015 or something, and someone had just injected another load of cash. I think it was like
very
interested
to see that film actually.
This is his directorial debut as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been about 15 years, maybe longer than that now. I don't know when this film's
gonna... And also, he was in the first Saw movie.
Was
he? He's been in a couple. I think he's been in Saw 2 as well.
I don't know.
What was his part in Saw?
I don't
know what part he was in it, but he's... I think he was in a couple.
I don't remember that.
It's in his list. His list of things.
Watch it again, man.
I haven't seen Saw in ages.
But as I say, you know, he's known for, you know...
What was your favourite Lethal Weapon movie?
First one for me. So I started not liking them as much when they started getting extra characters in it. I liked it was just the two of them. So I like one and two. But for me, one, my favourite scene is that scene where Murtaugh's at his desk and the other cop comes in and says, we've got a new partner for you. But he's clocking the guy outside who looks a bit dodgy with the cap and the jeans and sort of a bit military-looking dude. And he sees him like flash a gun and runs out there, shouts, "Gun!" thinking he's saving anyone. And it ends up Riggs flips him over and points a Bretter in his face.
That's the first time they meet each other.
And that's the first time he says, "I'm too old for this shit."
First time
you hear it. I love
first
that
First time you
man.
Hear that.
It's the opening scene.
I love the scene in Lethal Weapon 2 when all the guys from South Africa trying to get hold of him and stuff. And they come to his house and they're killing off the police one by one. And remember, he's putting in an extension to the house. So he's got all the tools hanging around.
Yeah.
And they come to attack him and he uses the nail gun to deal with them.
Yes. Yeah.
You remember that scene?
Yeah, I remember that bit, yeah.
And he's got one line, he goes, "Nailed them both."
I nailed them.
But yeah, no, there's, you know, obviously Mel Gibson was the athletic guy who would do all the running and jumping and shit.
But was a good partner. Yeah. Having that older
good partner,
character.
Good contrast. And I really like Lethal Weapon 2. With the subject that they tackled in that movie. And
Another big film but a big film for me that I loved renting out multiple times in a video shop was Bat 21.
With Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman,
and
yeah.
Danny Glover.
I've rented it out so many times from the video shop.
But I never remember watching that at your house. You must have
I don't know.
Right.
It was...
Let me get this movie.
Let me get Bat 21 out. So
I think I used to rent like war films on my jack. So I don't remember like watching Platoon would have been 80, back end of the 80s, wouldn't it?
I
would have watched, you know, like Hamburger Hills, Platoons, Bat 21, you know, all of these sort of Vietnam films I quite liked. Yeah. Probably
those
because
kind
of Tour of Duty and stuff.
I could never get into war films.
I like war films.
All the ones that you mentioned, Hamburger Hill, Platoon, I've never seen Platoon. I've never seen Hamburger.
It's good film.
You've seen Saving Private Ryan, though.
That's the only war film I've seen.
I like war films, especially off the back of Vietnam War. There was a lot of films being made about the Vietnam War. And I think I watched pretty much all of them. But Bat 21, it was a bit different because it was set after, and I think he got shot down. Something happened. And he crashed in Laos, not Vietnam. Danny Glover was like working as, I can't think where he was working. He wasn't nothing to do with the military though. But he picked up his signal on a radio, and he used to fly over every night to try and help get across the border and, you know, escape evasion. It's just a wicked film, man. It's one of them, sort of escape and evade films.
Yeah, so Danny Glover, man, as you say, Bat 21, Colour Purple, Witness
Wiki film.
And Lethal Weapon. And as we said before, he got a gift, a parting gift from
got a gift
from the dreadlocked alien.
That ain't too bad.
So, yeah, so that's our first five for this episode of 80s Action Heroes that inspired us for their films and their appearances. So look, on this episode, we've had James Earl Jones, we've had Carl Weathers, Jim Kelly, Billy Dee Williams, and Danny Glover. So, you know, as I say, at the top of this, these were inspiration to me personally, and I know you guys were, you know,
to me as well.
Love performances, and a lot of people out there who were born at that time who know these actors, you know, they weren't always on the front cover of the poster of the film and so on, but you know, that had a deep implant in my mind to remember
these
guys.
Poignant,
you know,
parts in the film.
Yeah, in the film. As you're saying, Jim Kelly, just one film and an impact on us. So thank all of you guys for being part of our 80s. We'll be back with some more. That's part one of the episode. I just want to remind you guys that the lockdown quiz hasn't gone. That's coming back soon, so don't fret. You know, more contestants will be stepping up to the plate to give us their knowledge of the 80s. What's the high score we got so far? It's 8, isn't it?
We got tie on 8 so far.
Tie on 8 so far. So, guys, remember, if you want to be part of this game, our 80s lockdown quiz, we have to answer as much questions about the 80s based on our podcast, whether it be films, fashion, food, music, games, TV, whatever. Be a part. You know where we are. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Insta, we're on Twitter, or on YouTube. You can find us, Old School Movements, and you'll
drop us a message.
So yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed the podcast again. We want to give you all what we love about the 80s and what Steve can remember about the 80s as well.
Cocaine, yeah, that's a drug.
Good to get to it, guys. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. It's been great having you. We're out. Peace.
Those were the days I remember.